Did you ever notice how different it is whenever you sing a hymn and you're doing it joyfully with a smile versus as a funeral dirge? Just kind of, I have to do this, so I'm going to suck it up and get it over with. There's a whole difference. I mean, it really does. It kind of affects you differently. Whenever we sing, Emmanuel, God with us. That's what that means. Wow, God with us. God with us. You get it? Isn't that awesome? That's a joy. God's with us right now. That's a 100% truth and guarantee as well. Now, the scripture reminds us of God with us. And this particular scripture passage this morning from the Gospel of Mark, something that jumps right into the story, you know. Mark doesn't really waste any time, does he? Some of the other Gospels, a little bit more, kind of stretched out, fleshed out a little bit more. Mark is, get to the point here, right into it. And in this particular passage, in this particular reading this morning, we have the proclamation of John the Baptist. Now, the first 13 verses of Mark serve kind of as a prologue to the entire gospel, introducing the main character of the story. The hero of the story is, absolutely, that's exactly it. And it identifies his importance as God's son and also represents repentance or turning back and humbling ourselves, facing God, understanding that God wants to look us in the eye and remind us of how much he loves us. Repentance is one of those terms that we kind of have to unpack because maybe you've heard it in a different way. Repent! I didn't mean that directed at anybody in particular here. Yes, I did. Okay. The choir knows me well. But if you hear it like that, certainly it's based on fear. Well, repentance isn't about fear. It's about grace. It's about truth. It's about honesty. And whenever we look God in the eyes, he reminds us of a love that's so deep and so powerful and profound as we have never experienced before. God loves us like nothing else. Hear the good news. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This is the word of truth, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Join with me in prayer. We thank you, loving God, for this day. We thank you for your word as well. Thank you for how you continue to guide us and strengthen us and sustain us. Help us, not only in our repentance, to humble ourselves before you, but also in our daily living. And as we do that, we experience your grace in such a profound manner. Thank you for loving us more than we can imagine. And it's in the name of Christ, the one who we wait for, that we pray. Amen. Scott Hippler writes the following story. I can remember one late winter's day when I was about 7. My grandmother had taken a cousin and me to the grocery store. When the shopping was done and the brown paper sacks were in the car, we headed home. On the way, Grandma had to stop off at another store for a few minutes, so my cousin and I stayed in the car. Well, Grandma took more time than she thought, so what was about to happen was all her fault. Back then, they put prizes in laundry detergent boxes as an incentive for people to buy. Well, we had 2 giant boxes of soap because Grandma bought everything in bulk. Well, I had discovered that you could pop the ashtrays out of the doors in the back seat, and when you looked down into them, you could see a big black hole. So, don't get ahead of me. So we popped both ashtrays out, opened both boxes of soap, and began to pour in the soap. Now you can respond. Yeah. Before we knew it, the boxes were empty, and we had a nice little coffee cup and a nice little salad dish. It was then that we realized what we had done. I know that we have not been together long, Scott says, but trust me on this. There is no way to make a soap box look and feel like it's never been opened once you've poured all the soap down an ashtray hole in a car. It was all Grandma's fault anyway. She took too long while we were waiting. You know, you can get into a lot of trouble while you're waiting, can't you? You can get into all sorts of mischief while you're waiting. And in fact, you can kind of get distracted along the way and maybe even forget what you were waiting for in the first place. As Christians, we understand that this season is a season of journey, of process, if you will. And while Mark jumps right into the good news, in the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, or the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he jumps right into it. We continue to be on a journey. All the candles lit on the Advent wreath? No. There's 2 of them. It's a process. It's us seeking with all our might to be more and more open to God's grace and power in our lives. Seeking to be bearers of that light as each candle is lit, and reminders that we are called to be sharing the light of Christ that's in us with the world in need of it. A world of shadows. Yet in the waiting, we can get distracted. In the waiting, we can lose track of what's really important. I saw a news article, a news story on the television. A scout troop was selling Christmas trees. This was in Wyoming. And they happened to have a security camera on the lot. And after hours, a woman, not once, not twice, but 3 times, 3 years in a row, came on the lot after hours and took a Christmas tree. Now, the other ironic thing about this is that it was on church property. And it happened to be a member of that church. You know, we can lose perspective and we can get into mischief whenever we're waiting. Whenever we're waiting to be able to experience God's grace, and maybe we expect it to happen in a certain way, and it hasn't, or it hasn't happened yet. Lord, grant me patience, but I want it now. Yeah. It's more than about patience. Don't pray for patience, by the way. I warn you about that, okay? I'll give you that warning. Don't pray for patience. Be open to how God is molding you, changing you, transforming you. It could have been easy, and it would have been very easy, to be anxious, to be living in the time when Mark was writing, and also more so when Mark was being read, when the gospel was being communicated and shared. And it could have been very tempting to forget about God. There was unrest. This small sect out of the Jewish religion called Christians were being persecuted, were being challenged, were being pounded on by every side. It could have been very easy to just say, well, let's forget about it. Let's kind of do what feels good to us rather than seeking to follow God in our lives. I mention that because when we think we have challenges, that's nothing new. The church has always faced challenges, sometimes greater than other times. But whenever we face challenges at a church, or whenever we feel like the world is really, really waging a war on the good news, that's not anything new. It's also not new to remember that God will continue to strengthen us for the work ahead, for the effort, for stepping forward as His people. You know, John, in this gospel, is kind of a hairy goomer, isn't he? That's how he's described. He's got a camel hair coat that was kind of out of fashion at the time. I don't know if anybody has a camel hair coat that they are planning to wear during Advent. You should have done it today. You could have been a good illustration for me. And eating locusts and eating honey, he's kind of got this wild and woolly character. And you can imagine the honey dripping down in his beard and just kind of sticking there. And maybe he caught other insects in there or something like that. I'm not going to get too gross here. But, you know, he's kind of this wild and woolly character out there. But, you know, it's not really about his appearance completely. It's about what he was doing. And John, very much in the waiting for the Messiah, remembered what the prophets said, that God delivers on His promises. You can count on God. In the waiting, if you continue to keep focused on God and not get distracted by your own agenda, you're going to be able to experience God's presence in a new way, surprising way, profound way, subtle ways. You are going to be able to experience that presence. So John was a new prophet and was one proclaiming the actual Savior, the Messiah, the Son of God coming. And while John had his followers, and let's face it, at that time, there were a lot of people proclaiming this and proclaiming that. And there were a lot of people that were really wrapped up in wanting to gather power, okay, earthly power. And a lot of people wrapped up in the fact that they had followers. And John certainly did, okay? He had his groupies, let's say. But he pointed beyond that. And what does he say? There's language here. It's very, very poignant. The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. John's very clear there. I'm not even worthy to be a slave of his, a servant. And yet, he is coming. I am baptizing you with water, John says. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. What I'm doing, John says, points to this one who is coming, who is coming. What I'm doing my entire life is pointing in that direction. It is not about me. It is about what God is about to do, a new thing, a profound thing, a life-shaking, changing, molding thing that God has promised and God will deliver. That, my friends, is the good news today and the word of hope today. God delivers on his promises. So in the waiting, what are we to do? Well, we are to point towards God in our living. We are to be bearers of the light. We are certainly called to enjoy all of the accoutrements, let's say, of Christmas. But we're also called to be open to how God will stretch us and come into us. Understand and remember what John says. He baptized with water. Jesus Christ will baptize with the Holy Spirit. That is changing. That is internal. That is deep. That is magnificent. That is life-changing. How are we called? In our corner of the world, in our families, in our homes, in our work, in our church, to be preparers of the way. There are a lot of preparers, and we're called to be that. There's only one Savior. When we prepare the way, when we open ourselves to giving God the credit, and not trying to pat our own selves on the back, then Christ is given the glory. Isn't it nice to know that Christ is the one who's really doing the work? We are called simply to point towards him. That's the question I want you to have in your mind this morning as we come to the table. I ask those who are serving the elements to come forward at this time. And as we think about how God has spoken and continues to speak to us, we understand that later on in the gospel, Jesus, gathering with his friends, offers some amazing words. They were around a table, and maybe some of them were not particularly aware of just what was taking place at that moment. And that's okay. But Jesus said, "This bread is my body, and it is broken for you. This is done so that you may be fed and sustained for the call in your lives to point towards God." The body of Christ, broken for the people of God, and we are the people of God. Thanks be to God. And after the supper, pouring out the wine, he said, "This is not something simply to quench your thirst, but rather to quench your searching. I am the way and the truth and the life," Christ says. "Follow me to the Father." As we receive this, this blood is a sign of sacrifice for sin and also a sign of redemption, that we are made new in a saving relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We are reminded once again that we are bearers of the light, preparers of the way. The blood of Christ shed for the people of God, and we are the people of God. Thanks be to God. The communion stewards will receive the elements of grace. They will go to places in our sanctuary, and then you will be guided forward by the ushers. This is an open table. All are welcome to receive these elements of grace.